One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey. Continued. Disc 9. And that's the way the black boys found them when they came to turn on the dorm lights at 6:30. I've given what happened next a good lot of thought, and I've come around to thinking that it was bound to be and would have happened in one way or another, at this time or that. Even if Mr. Turkle had got McMurphy and the two girls up and off the ward like was planned. The big nurse would have found out some way what had gone on, maybe just by the look on Billy's face, and she'd have done the same as she did whether McMurphy was still around or not. And Billy would have done what he did, and McMurphy would have heard about it and come back. Would have had to come back, because he could no more have sat around outside the hospital, playing poker in Carson City or Reno or someplace, and let the big nurse have the last move and get the last play, than he could have let her get by with it right under his nose. It was like he'd signed on for the whole game, and there wasn't any way of him breaking his contract. As soon as we started getting out of bed and circulating around the ward, the story of what had taken place was spreading in a brush fire of low talk. "They had a what?" asked the ones who hadn't been in on it. "A whore? In the dorm? Jesus!" Not only a whore, the others told them, but a drunken blast to boot. McMurphy was planning to sneak her out before the day crew came on, but he didn't wake up. "Now what kind of crock are you giving us?" "No crock, it's every word gospel. I was in on it." Those who had been in on the night started telling about it with a kind of quiet pride and wonder, the way people tell about seeing a big hotel fire or a dam bursting, very solemn and respectful because the casualties aren't even counted yet. But the longer the telling went on, the less solemn the fellows got. Every time the big nurse and her hustling black boys turned up something new, such as the empty bottle of cough syrup or the fleet of wheelchairs parked at the end of the hall like empty rides in an amusement park, it brought another part of the night back sudden and clear to be told to the guys who weren't in on it and to be savored by the guys who were. Everybody had been herded into the day room by the black boys, chronics and acutes alike, milling together in excited confusion. The two old vegetables sat sunk in their bedding, snapping their eyes and their gums. Everybody was still in pajamas and slippers except McMurphy and the girl. She was dressed except for her shoes and the nylon stockings, which now hung over her shoulder, and he was in his black shorts with the white whales. They were sitting together on a sofa holding hands. The girl had dozed off again, and McMurphy was leaning against her with a satisfied and sleepy grin.